pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN, our radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday edition. You know, Daddy, you do have to work Friday. I just want you to know. Even though it's February 29th, it's really not a joke. It's not a joke. There is a 29th this February, so Friday.
You got to do that at once every 4 years. Four or five, yeah, whenever it lands.
So this, what, for you, first and 12, or?
No, I'm making a point.
Attaboy.
Making a point.
Oh, boy. All right, that's coming up. State basketball this week, and last night, boys district basketball. Wow. Wow. Adams Central, Holdridge, Kearney Catholic. Ew, those couldn't have been fun bus rides home. Basket at the buzzer. Basket at the buzzer. Hose job. I mean, played well. Hose job. Wow. 1 point.
Doug, I've never saw. I've got two phone calls already this morning about the Kearney Catholic situation. Somebody out there have. I don't understand the arena. Maybe you can explain the Ogallala Arena or auditorium or whatever they call this dump. Well, I mean,
I've only been in it once. I was thinking the ceiling was a little bit higher, so I can't tell you. I didn't think that's where you were going. I thought you were going with the actual ruling, because ironically, and if you missed this. Last night, Shadron, the number four team in the state, the defending runners-up, and they're in no matter what. And there would have been a possibility if Kearney Catholic wins this game.
No, they would have played again, is a little strange. But
in the first round of state. Well, Kearney Catholic plays maybe their best game of the year. They'd won eight out of their last nine, albeit they were just 13-9. They had really played well towards the end of the season. And they went to Ogallala to play Shadron in the district final. And Shadron, I told you yesterday, it just depends how the Waterbugs do against 6'11", 6'6". If they can put the pressure and hit some shots, and they did. This was a basketball game, 68-67. That is high school basketball. It doesn't have to be 95-84, but it sure shouldn't be 15-10 at halftime.
27 shots behind the arc. They couldn't win cider. Yeah, I agree.
Bowman's strong. He's tough. But you're giving up, a foot and a half inside, it looks like. But anyway, Randy Bushcutter had the call here on ESPN last night, and I could bring that up, the audio, but I don't think we want to. So here's the situation. 2-point game, 11 seconds, I believe they said, left in the contest.
Shadron with the ball.
Shadron ready to throw inbound the ball. Well, they're going for the home run ball. And somehow they throw it up and they hit the ceiling. The rafters, the overhang, whatever it was that they hit. It must have kind of just grazed it or shot it down. That I don't know exactly. But it must have been enough that the three referees, that's right, the three referees now that we have, didn't notice it. But everybody else in the auditorium on both sides noticed it. But they let it go, and Kearney Catholic had to foul. Well, by rule, that's out of bounds, would have been Kearney Catholic's ball under their own hoop.
Instead, with the 11 seconds left, because obviously no time would have expired.
Yeah, and instead they had to foul Shadron. Shadron makes both free throws. Kearney Catholic comes down, hits a three with 3 seconds left to make it 68-67. Then I guess Shadron inbounds the ball, and Kearney Catholic takes it away and comes up, with a desperation shot that didn't go in. Now, again, win, lose, draw, overtime, you don't know how things would have went. I mean, Kearney Catholic could have thrown away the inbounds pass. Anything is possible. But the bottom line is, and for the most part, you know what? Maybe I should preface this. And I, at the point where I've done this long enough that I know most of the officials when you see 120 games a year, they've been doing very good. Sometimes you go, well, maybe that was a carry. They didn't think so. Or, maybe the kid, as I'm running up in a two-man crew, back at half court, you know, he's off to my side. Maybe he did carry the ball, or maybe he did take an extra step. I just didn't see it. I was trying to get down the floor in position. You know, no major things. But you look at if it was an obviously blatant throwing it into the ceiling, how can you miss that call? And the ironic thing is, Tony, that is what happened to Kearney Catholic in 05 in the sub-district final, which they won and then went to Ogallala to play Gordon Rushville. The year after they won state, they played Broken Bow. Same exact situation in Broken Bow. This game was at, were we in Lexington maybe?
No. Well, maybe it was Lexington.
I think it was in Lexington. I'm trying to remember exactly where it was, but I think it was in Lexington. And the kid rears back from Broken Bow. He's going to throw the home run ball to the other end with 3 seconds, 3 or 4 seconds to go in the game because Kearney Catholic had dribbled off their leg out of bounds. And it hit the rafter. It hit the beams that were down. And, I mean, it takes a chuck to get it up there. But it did. Kearney Catholic got the ball, got fouled, sent it to overtime, won the game, and moved on, and then won districts and won state. And just 3 years later, the exact same thing happens again, only this time it wasn't called. And again, not being there, Randy was doing the game. A lot of people were there. And in the grand scheme of things, is this the number one team in the state staying home? No, it is not. But, you know, you got to get the call right.
Well, I would think that's what you certainly do have to get the call right. And when, I mean, it just seems blatantly obvious when everybody else in the gym sees the call one way and the three of you don't see it that way. And obviously, in a situation like that, I'm assuming the officials kind of go over that before the game because it doesn't come into play that often. So, I mean, kind of like a ground rule in baseball, hey, we got a tarp out there, throw, you know, make sure your kids throw their hands up if something gets in, you know, a ball's overthrown, you know, something similar to that. They would go over that before the game, and everybody would be on the same page and understand that.
I don't – what's worse, though, that or a shot – beating you at the buzzer, like last night. Bryant Bernal, I hope I said that right, from Lexington, throws up a fadeaway in the lane to beat Adams Central. They were behind. He wins it. Then on the other side, you've got a last-second shot by McCook to beat Holdridge. Zach Weezer hitting that one, and that made it a two-point game to win it 62-60.
I think it'd be easier. Well, none of them are easy for anybody. I'm sure of that. It'd be easier, you know, like to go home like Axtell did last night and say you got beat by a better team. You know, they're not much day. On that night, they were quite a bit better than us. We can't hang our heads. We had a good season, but it's over now. We got beat by a better team. These instances, I think, are tougher.
Well, let's go to the phone line. Our resident expert on site, Seth Blank, was at the game from the Kearney Hub. He joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Seth, what's up?
Hey, Doug. How are you doing this morning?
Well,
what do you want to know?
I'm getting along. Okay, here's the first thing. You were there. Did you grab our banner?
No, I did not grab your banner. I did not know what was missing.
Randy left it there. Anyway, so I just thought I'd get that out of the way. All right, take us through the last, and we would be talking to Randy, but he's teaching young minds up at Kearney
right.
High right now. Seth, take us through what happened. First off, was it blatantly obvious that the pass hit the ceiling?
Yes, it was. It was 66-64. Shattern had the lead, had the ball, the inbound of the ball, and underneath their own basket, and Kearney Catholic was pressing. And the kid kind of got caught in a trap, got in trouble, kind of just hoisted the ball towards midcourt. As the ball is going up in the air, it clanks the ceiling pretty good. I mean, it didn't just graze the ceiling. It hit it pretty good. And it comes down, and a Shattering kid is able to jump up and grab it. Of course, there's kind of about 4 or 5 seconds there. You got Kearney Catholic's bench screaming. The fans are screaming, saying the ball hit the ceiling. And I think the kids, you know, they knew the ball hit the ceiling, but nothing was called. So there's 4 or 5 seconds there where they're kind of unsure what to do. And then they finally go and foul the Shattering kid with, I think there was like 6.8 seconds or something left in the game. He ends up making 2 free throws. Kearney Catholic inbounds the ball, gets it to Drew Butler quick on the wing. He lost up a 3, banks it in with, I at the time, Doug, I would have guessed there would have been 3.5 seconds left. I wrote down 3 seconds on my stat sheet because, of course, I can't see tenths of a second as they're running off. But there had to be 3.4, 3.5 seconds left. The clock doesn't stop until there's 1.1 seconds left. Uh-huh. The refs come over, put 2.8 seconds back on the clock. Shattering inbounds the ball to half court. It's stolen. And the Stars get it to Aaron Urbanski on the wing. And his three-pointer just grazed the front of the rim. It was close. It was close. But, yeah, the end of the game was definitely it could have went a lot of different ways. You figure if that
so Seth, they would,
that hits the ceiling is called, you know.
So, but Seth, they would,
Catholics got the ball down by two.
They would not have had 11 seconds. It would have been somewhere in the 8 or, what, 7, 8, 9 range. I mean, if the ball hits the ceiling and then the whistle blows.
Oh, that, they would have had, when the ball hit the ceiling, Daddy, there was at least, I'd say right around 11, 12 seconds left. And like I said, when it came down and the shattering kid caught it, it was kind of like, what do we do now? The whistle didn't blow, so there's 4 or 5 seconds that run off the clock before he gets fouled.
That's unbelievable. Well-played game, though, correct?
Yeah, definitely a well-played game. Stars, I think they missed their first, what was it, 11 shots, fell behind 9-0 to start. They go into halftime down 39-30. And then Shattern gets the first bucket of the third quarter, and Kearney Catholic starts hitting shots, go on a 15-0 run, and they end up taking a four-point lead. And they actually led, I believe it was 64-60 with 2:08 remaining in the game. And then there was a, you know, Shattern ends up scoring the next 8 points to go up 68-64. Kearney Catholic had a few turnovers in there. Again, there was some judgment calls by the officials. You know, one side thinks they're a foul, the other side doesn't. It's you know how it goes, Doug.
And, oh, yeah.
And so, it just ended up, you know.
So is Shattern.
The first one was the ball hitting the ceiling.
When I fill out my brackets next week, do I have Shattern going out in the first round?
Any idea who they're playing?
I have no idea who they're playing.
I think
they're gonna be the number one seed, so they're gonna get the 8 seed.
Yeah, I think they can survive the first round, but you know, I wasn't overly impressed. Their coach, after talking to him after the game, you know, he gave Kearney Catholic a lot of credit and basically said they got outplayed. So I don't know if that was Shattern's best effort or not. If it was, I don't know if they're going to make it back to the state championship game this year. If it wasn't, you know, with their size, their guards are pretty good. And, but with their size, Elliot Eliason, they can get the ball inside to him. He's hard to stop. He's 6'11", I would say.
what grade's he in?
You know, a 6'7 or 6'8 kid to guard him in high school.
Seth, what grade are those big kids in for Shattern?
Eliason is a sophomore.
At 6'11"?
At 6'11". The 6'6 kid comes off the bench. He didn't do a whole lot last night. I think it's Rose, his kid's last name. He's a 6'4 kid. He's 6'2. He's their power forward. He does a good job of getting to the rack. And then there's a Bargain kid who's 6'4, kind of a small forward type that's good in the post, and he's a good shooter from outside. So he's kind of a double threat. He's the one that's going to provide a tough matchup for any team that plays them, besides the Lyson, of course.
Yeah, well, Seth, hey, we appreciate you listening and giving us a call and letting us know the details from courtside. And, well, where are you going tonight?
I am going to Hastings to go watch the Bearcats and Islanders.
All right.
They're off in their third meeting this year.
Hey, if it's 15-10 at half, shut the lights off and run, okay?
You know what, Doug? It could be.
I know it could be. We got Coach Steinbrook scheduled on the show. He's probably going to tell me a few things as well. Hey, Seth, thanks so much, buddy.
Yeah, we'll see you, Doug.
Seth Blank, Kearney Hub, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've been talking about the Kearney Catholic ball game last night. It was just, you know, I guess if I would have been the one sitting there last night, I would probably be a little more irate because it's just, everybody makes a mistake, but all three.
I would have think you would have had a conference and got it right. I mean, I don't think it would have been that difficult, but nonetheless, apparently they couldn't.
Let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Scott Steinbrick's going to join us here in just a moment, and we'll get to some emails and more right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Most of the sponsor messages you are about to hear did not realize their commercials were going to be in the Doug and Daddy Show. Pity.
Would you take a look at that? Never in the history of Eagle Crest have we had this many campers. Never. The lot is loaded. No, it's overloaded with nearly all the famous camper names you've come to expect at Eagle Crest. And then add to that our new lines, Cameo and Cruiser. You're getting the idea. It's time to go camping at Eagle Crest. From pop-ups to high-end fifth wheels. Over 40 models of campers. Where? On West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
More exciting high school basketball comes your way Tuesday night with district championships on the line. On ESPN Radio, the Kearney Bearcats battle Grand Island at Hastings High. Our pregame is 6:45, tip-off at 7 o'clock. And on our sister station, Power 99 FM, it's D2 action from Southern Valley High School as the Pleasanton Bulldogs take on Hitchcock County. Pregame at 6:45, tip at 7. Pleasanton, Hitchcock County on Power 99, Kearney Grand Island right here on ESPN Radio. I'm Doug Duda with Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Tri-City Storm will have 6 of their next 7 games at home beginning this weekend as they welcome in Lincoln on Friday, Omaha on Saturday, then it's off to Sioux Falls on Sunday. The UNK men and women will be at home Friday to open up the RMAC basketball tournament. The women will host Regis at 6, men will host Mesa State at 8. The GPAC Conference Tournament begins Tuesday for the Hastings College men as they host Mount Marty at 7:30. A win would send them to Dakota Wesleyan at 5 o'clock on Thursday. The Hastings College women will be at home Thursday at 7:30 to take on the winner between Dakota Wesleyan and Dana. The Nebraska men will host Oklahoma Wednesday at 7, then travel to Oklahoma State Saturday. The Nebraska women will be at 15th-ranked Kansas State Wednesday night, then host Colorado on Sunday. In wrestling, UNK is at the RMAC Championships this weekend in Las Vegas, New Mexico. Hastings wrestling is off until the NAIA Nationals March 6th. Nebraska is off until the Big 12 Championships on March the 8th. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN.
Hi, I'm J.W. Hart, the Ironman of the Professional Bull Riders. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area today with high temperatures in the upper 30s. Northwest winds will stay from 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, a low of 17 as winds become light and variable. And a mix of clouds and sun is expected for Wednesday with a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 30.
Doug and Daddy Show.
More bizarrety.
Yeah, Texas Southern.
Arkansas Pine Bluff.
And beat Arkansas Pine Bluff in overtime. Kid hits a half-court shot just inside half-court to tie the game, to send it to overtime. And then what happened, Derek?
It looked like they showed a little silhouette over one of the guys who was leaving the bench. It looked like a player that was in street clothes. And apparently he was out on the court jumping up and down, and they put a little silhouette on him. So I imagine the technical was called because of him for some reason.
So the kid goes to the line, makes both free throws.
But regulation is over. Regulation.
So it's overtime.
So the technical is being assessed in overtime, which makes it a two-point ball game.
At the beginning,
of overtime.
Because he made the free throws.
He made both free throws. And before they jump, throw the jump ball up for overtime, they're Texas Southern already ahead. Did the team that hit the half quarter win the game then?
The white jerseys was Texas.
Oh, then they lost. Then they lost. Didn't matter. It didn't matter. I mean, you know, you get to overtime down two. It just didn't matter, did it?
Derek's checking that out right now.
That brings me to something else that disturbed me a little bit as I watched the highlights. That Josh Sheldon got last night for NTV. I watched all the sports. I was able to get them all through, but they had the last second shot for Lexington and Adams Central. Did you see the sports last night?
No, I did not.
Great moment, great play. The kid from Lexington in the lane, kind of bizarre. He kind of bumped into an Adams Central kid, no foul. And the Adams Central kid, I don't know if he lost his balance or if he just stepped back because his teammate slid in. They kind of had him double-teamed, but you could tell he didn't want to foul him. And so the kid turns around, hits a fadeaway jumper. and then goes running down the court at UNK, takes his jersey off, and throws it on the floor. I ask you, Tony, when is the game over?
Wow. I'm glad I'm not the official standing there in that position.
Well, you can't do that. And B, I just wondered when the game was over.
The horn had sounded. I mean, it's all over for all intents and purposes. I mean, they win.
I thought, man. So hopefully Lexington and McCook can put on a good game tonight and everybody leaves their jerseys on. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com.
Wow, I found this Texas Southern Arkansas Pine Bluff. What really happened there? Apparently the fans went a little ballisto and ran out onto the floor. It says the celebrating home fans went a bit too far. Some fans ran onto the court and cups and pins were thrown through the air. UAPB Pine Bluff was given a technical foul, and Matthew Miller made both free throws that gave Texas Southern a 70-68 advantage at the start of overtime.
And they went on to win.
Yeah, they went on to win. Bizarre. 1-888-455-ESPN. Scott Steinbrück scheduled to join us here in the second half of the show to talk a little Kearney High basketball. Girls State, I've got all kinds of teams to cover for you. And Hastings College men's basketball at home tonight against Mount Marty, 1230 KHAS. That pregame is at 7:15, tip-off at 7:30. Nebraska will be without Cookie Miller, it looks like, tomorrow, although severe sprain, than dislocated.
Well, dislocated or broken collarbone or anything broken, nothing revealed. So that's good news for him. And it's one of those deals, though, now you're going to have to be able to play through the pain. And it's his right shoulder, which is his shooting shoulder. So that will be more difficult, obviously, getting his range of motion back.
Going to hear from Doc Sadler on that in just a moment, Derek.
Dan on the phone right now from Kearney. He has a comment on the Lexington game.
Dan, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
I believe the Lexington game would be over when the official approved the final score or when the officials leave the vicinity of the floor. That's how the rule reads.
Dan, I would think after a situation like that, the officials leave the floor very, very. I mean,
they run a lot, don't they?
They jog off the floor, and that's just. The excitement's over. I think you're correct. I think they get off the floor in very, very short order.
I agree. That's their out. But, boy, I would staple a shirt to the kid's chest next game.
you sure hate to stay home because of something like that.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Dan, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Crazy Class B last night because if you get to the eastern part of the state, Lincoln Pius was able to win 56-55 on a buzzer beater, a three-pointer at the buzzer, the only three-pointer they hit all night to send Waverly home.
That would make you just feel ill. That just makes you feel ill. And then the number one team in the state got beat last night, Danny. In Class A, Omaha Creighton Prep falls to Omaha Benson, and they are now 21-2. And if Ralston would happen to get beat tonight, which could happen against Omaha North, Ralston gets the wild card. The number one team in the state at 21-2 would stay home, and that is because in Class A, now they have went to the new rule this year where they are sending the districts 2 weeks before the districts are played, so you get a little bit more, so you don't have three of the top four teams in one district.
Doug, I don't like this.
Well, there's only one wild card.
There's seven.
Instead of two, there's now seven districts. The west one with Kearney and Grand Island and North Platte and Columbus is going to be that way forever. And then the other six are set up on wild card points. So, as the number one seed, you should have an easier time. You should have an easier time getting through than anybody else in any class in the state.
Okay, but here's the argument people have in Class A with Ralston. Ralston played a total number of zero Class A teams this year.
In Nebraska.
They played one and then took care of business in Iowa or South Dakota.
Kansas. I checked that out.
Okay.
But you're right. I think they played three Kansas teams that are classified A, and then Council Bluffs, one of the Council Bluffs schools that is A. But you're right.
So a lot of people out there that say, well, they played, and you know what? They played great Class B, granted, you know, I'm not going to run down bad Class B teams, you know, whatever. But they played the Beatrices, they played the Scuts, they played Pius, you know, I think Pius, I think, you know, they played Waverly. I think they played a lot of those teams back east, and they've been able to survive against that competition. But to play Class A competition night in, night out, especially the metro area where they're from, you would think you play a few games around there and night in, night out. People don't think they probably have the record that they would have. And by playing down and playing that record, it's a little bit surprising that the wild card points have accumulated, that they're vastly different. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah, there's.
I mean, there's some mathematic things in the lower levels that can switch, you know, back and forth with some, how some other teams do. Well, they're so far ahead, it doesn't matter.
So, and you know, ironically, some people on the road going to the St. Cecilia Boone Central game last night had a couple calls, you know, how did this go? You know, you had the Bennington-Wisner-Pilger game that went to overtime, a battle of unbeatens. And evidently, you can get into some discussions on the way home as well when they're farther than 15 miles about what do you do about the wild card? Is it fair for teams that, and let's, in defense of Ralston, this is a team that's newly, is a new team to A.
The schedules have been set when they...
Yeah, it is tough to redo your basketball schedule. It is tough to redo any of your schedules that, you know, back in the day when you had to make your own football schedule, you know, you might say, well, I want to drop Donovan and I want to bring Wood River on. But to do that, all three schools have to pick and lose and add and drop and hit the right weeks, and it's just very, very tough to do. And that's why, especially... If you've seen some teams come in and out of conferences, Ord coming into the Lou Platte, Donovan Trumbull into the Lou Platte, you're going to see Kennesaw leave the Fort Kearney Conference, you're going to see Eustis Farnham come in. That's where you start to see more of these Tuesday and Thursday games crop up on the schedule because those dates are open. You got the new team coming into the conference. You need to put them on Tuesdays and Thursdays because those
Fridays
are open.
And Saturdays are taken.
And then down the road, well, now I have a Friday open, so... You know, maybe I can pick, you know, and Minden has been very good about this. St. Paul's been very good about this. You've seen them start to add some teams like that. Central Catholic is a team that's been able to do that with some of their non-conference games. But what do you do about the wild card? You can't have it both ways.
Well,
you're on the right side of the wild card, you love it. If you're on the wrong side of the wild card, you hate it. And before I pass this, Daddy, somebody grabbed me yesterday, and we were talking about the teams that were left out, St. Paul, Ravenna, Loomis, Silver Lake, that were all one spot out. I was reminded of the storm the week after conference tournaments that canceled St. Cecilia Adams Central Girls and St. Paul
Ravenna
Girls. And now, again, this is not 100% fact, but the point was this happened when I was at Kearney Catholic last night. Kearney Catholic got the last wild card, and I was told, you know, if St. Paul and Ravenna would have played each other, it probably wouldn't have mattered who would have won, but if St. Paul would have won, they probably would have gotten the wild card. And had Ravenna had won, they probably would have gotten the wild card in C2 because it was a 50-point victory. Now, again, you're not 100% positive, but that does make sense, and one of those teams would have got to go. And I think they would take their chances, and now they're both home.
And they can't play it before Wednesday and qualify.
Well, anyway, the wild card situation, you know, you can tweak it as much as you want. It's been tweaked this year. The wild card was tweaked this year. Instead of three divisions, there's four.
Well, Class A, you've only got four teams out here. I don't like them in their little own affirmative action district. I mean, but basically, you just exiled them out, and they're just, well, they're out there on their own. They're just the four that are together. I don't like that. You know, it's only going to affect.
So let's send North Platte to Omaha Northwest on Saturday, and then they win. Let's send them back on a school night, Monday or Tuesday. That's what you're suggesting. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying it's only going to affect one or two of the, you know, it's only going to affect two teams, you know.
Okay, and then Kearney would have been the number one seed, so then they would have got to have Millard North, Lincoln Southwest, and Omaha Creighton Prep come out.
Well, I don't think
that's what would happen, though.
I think there's a way that you can somehow, that serpentine deal, I think you can include, I think there's a way that if you're somewhere through the 8 and 10 teams, you could pick the one that's closer via Lincoln. I don't think those teams are vastly, I mean, I don't think the separation is so much vastly greater.
Okay.
Those teams would have to come out.
But like with everything that pretty much everything we discuss on this show, until you can find, and you or Bob or Stacy or whoever can find a better solution.
Well, and, you know what? Kearney'd be more than happy to go to York to play a district game, I think. And one of those teams could come to York. I mean, I think there's some give and take. I don't know why Hastings is obviously the logical destination every year. I mean, it's been that way for 100 years.
Oh, let's take a break. Daddy's starting to sweat a little bit. Doug and Daddy Show, Scott Steinberg going to talk about the Kearney Grand Island third meeting. They're 1-1 against each other. Do you realize the Islanders are actually on the hot streak right now? They've won 8 in a row. They are 17-4. Cats are 17-6. The rubber match decides who wins the district tonight. We'll be right back.
All right, look, Doug and Daddy don't work for beer and pretzels. Well, they did for the first 3 months till somebody told them that they should be paid. Well, anyway, they'll be back after these commercial messages.
Progressive.com, an auto insurance utopia. Well, it can save you hundreds by being the one-stop place to compare Progressive's rates to those of other top companies. What's more, if you have any questions, we offer live phone support 24/7. And if you'd like to picture us with soap opera good looks, then go right ahead. What else would you expect in Utopia? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
How would you describe Pizza Hut's new crunchy cheesy crust pizza? Experience the indescribable crunch of the new crunchy cheesy crust pizza from Pizza Hut. Just $11.99 for a large one topping. Go to describethecrunch.com for a chance to win the ultimate sports lovers package. Get more, not less. Pizza Hut. Order online at pizzahut.com.
Limited time offer, additional charge for extra cheese where applicable. Prices, participation, delivery charges, and areas may vary. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States plus D.C. 18 and over void where prohibited. Promotion ends 3/8/08. Visit describethecrunch.com for rules and complete details. Sponsor Pizza Hut, Inc.
Why pay too much for your next pre-owned car or truck? Since 1981, Kearney Auto Sales on East Highway 30 has earned a reputation for selling quality vehicles at affordable prices. Looking for a Chevy Suburban? Come see this 2003 LS 4x4 for just $13.5. How about a 2004 Jeep Grand Cherokee? 53,000 miles that's sure to please, only $12.9. At Kearney Auto, you can rent a car for just $19.95 a day or use your tax refund to buy here and pay here too. Open weekdays till 6 and Saturday till 4 or call for details.
Would you take a look at that? Never in the history of Eagle Crest have we had this many campers. Never. The lot is loaded. No, it's overloaded with nearly all the famous camper names you've come to expect at Eagle Crest. And then add to that our new lines, Cameo and Cruiser. You're getting the idea. It's time to go camping at Eagle Crest. From pop-ups to high-end fifth wheels. Over 40 models of campers. Where? On West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
Winter blues got you down?
It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
Do something about it. Head to Cunningham's Journal. Let them warm you up with a happy hour special like Buck 50 Wells and Domestic Longnecks. Maybe even a 225 big-ass beer would do the trick. And now, happy hour's even happier. With extended hours till 8 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Join Cunningham's Tuesday and Thursday nights for beer and burgers till 8 for $3.50. That's right, burger and long neck for $3.50. That's all this winter at Cunningham's Journal. Happy hour 4 to 8 Monday through Saturday. We'll see you soon.
This is Josh Berge, number 19 of the Tri-City Storm, and you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstations 14, 16, and 1550 AM.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area today with high temperatures in the upper 30s. Northwest winds will stay from 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, a low of 17 as winds become light and variable. Then a mix of clouds and sun is expected for Wednesday with a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 30.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A variety of emails and text messages coming into the program. This coming from the fat man of Buffalo County, who says, "Good morning, gentlemen. Went with my daughter to watch what we thought would be a good game to watch because we haven't seen Ravenna play this year. The team I'm talking about, Ravenna boys basketball team, must have been a great game for them. We had about 10 to 14 people would not know because the student body stood up the entire game. I have no problem with that if there's room, or like the Axtell kids did, they took the end bleacher section out of people's way. There were a couple that left at the end of the first quarter and went home, and that was a Ravenna couple. If you're in a gym that there are seats available, that's great. Stand and cheer for the team. But in a gym that is a packed house, the sad part, no one told them to sit down. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to root against Ravenna. way to show class. Okay, we get, you know, we got some angry emails today. That's fine. That's fine. But, you know, there's two things here. I do chuckle when people show up an hour ahead of game time, but that's one way to get the best seat in the house, and I'm not, you know, not everybody can do that. That's fine. But every time I think about something like that, and when I'm seated in the stands broadcasting a game, people stand up, you know what? They paid their ticket. It's exciting, and especially for the high school kids. You know what? Even though some of them act a little dorky, hey, didn't we all? Don't some of us still do that? But didn't we all? And, you know, there's no solution for that. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have the kids in the gym making noise, acting silly, having fun, than out doing a lot of other things that they could be doing. So I guess in response to that email, you got to take it with a grain of salt. I know the gym was packed. I know. But their rights are just as much as yours, and even though it might be annoying, I know, something you're just going to have to deal with. And that's the side of the issue I'm going to take, Daddy.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're going to do about that. And, you know, what is the seating difference between Kearney High and Kearney Catholic? Somebody asked me that last night.
Maybe 400? I don't know.
More at Kearney High?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not positive on that. I think they said Kearney Catholic's a 1,500-seat gym or something like that. Okay. And I think Kearney High is somewhere between 18 and 2, isn't it? I don't know for sure.
Well, somebody that should know.
16. I don't know. You know, they've had a lot of rowdies up at Kearney High, and there should be plenty of room at Hastings tonight, although there'll be a lot of fans on hand for the district that you can hear right here between Kearney and Grand Island on ESPN Radio.
Well, we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Kearney Bearcats, Scott Steinbrick, right now. Scott, thanks so much for the time.
No problem. Appreciate you guys having me on. And I can clarify one thing. Our gym seats 1,750, I believe, is the last number I heard.
Well, that, you know, and so that's very comfortable. Daddy, you think the game should have been there?
Why? No. Somebody asked me that last night as far as seating capacity, if we could have moved it across town where there was a little bit more room. I think you would have taken a little bit more room, perhaps.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk. Okay, let's get this out of the way because we like Scott. We have Scott on the show. But, you know, I'm sure that he's got an answer for us on 15 to 10, halftime on Saturday. And then they come out and score 27 points in the second half. Now, Scott, you can't say it's all great defense when your teams, both teams, have played pretty
good basketball. No, that was definitely a combination of some pretty bad offense by both teams combined with some pretty good defense. But obviously, I think the quality of basketball people are going to see tonight in our game versus Grand Island is probably going to be a little bit better than it was in the first round of the district tournament. And both games were the same way. They were both ugly, low-scoring games. But obviously, we're going to have to do things better offensively if we want a chance to beat Grand Island tonight.
Scott, obviously, sometimes we all forget they're just high school kids. How much nervousness and all that kind of thing plays into it when you do start the postseason? Did you sense any of that?
Yeah, you know, right from the start, I think we came out, and even in the locker room, this is a pretty loose bunch. They're usually joking around, having fun, and it was just a little bit different. I could just tell right away everybody was a little bit tight. It was a quiet bus ride over. It was a quiet locker room. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that we were playing a heavy underdog like Columbus. We beat them twice before. And just the natural nervousness of the district tournament. But I have a feeling that tonight the kids are going to be more relaxed. It's a pretty even matchup between us and Grand Island. And that's going to be key. Whichever team can come out, you know, and adjust to the atmosphere right away and not play tense. And you got to go out and play to win. You can't play not to lose. And I felt like we did that against Columbus. And I think if you talk to the GI coach, they probably would say the same thing. So I think tonight you'll see both teams just come out with confidence, and it should be a pretty good game.
Well, Scott, I look at this game tonight. As you beat them by 13, they beat you by 10. You should win this easily by 3.
If it were only that easy. I love your logic, and hopefully that holds true. But it's going to be a battle tonight. Like I said, both teams are going to come out and play well. GI, last time they played us, entirely zone, and we struggled. The first time they played us entirely man, and we handled them pretty easily. But it's going to come down to little things like extra possessions on offensive rebounds, which team takes care of the basketball, and then a huge thing is going to be which team can step up and make some free throws. Both GI and us, you know, struggled from the line in our last game, first game of the district tournament. So, you know, points like that, they're freebies, and you just got to shoot a high percentage, especially in a postseason game with two pretty good teams.
Scott Steinbrick, the head boys basketball coach at Kearney High. They get ready to play Grand Island tonight at Hastings, 7 o'clock. Had some success there. Obviously, the last couple of years, heading to the state tournament. don't have to worry about the fans that are saying, well, what about the wild card for the loser? Because with Creighton Prep getting beat last night, that's going to sew that up. But how much difference in that second game, Scott, about playing at the Heartland Events Center, did that play into that game at all?
You mean as far as playing into tonight's game, that second game?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the difference from the first game to the second game. Did the atmosphere, did Grand Island have a little more juice?
First of all, I'm glad we played at the Heartland Events Center. That was a great experience. It had a postseason feel to it. I think the big thing that maybe was, well, a couple things, actually. First of all, the fact that they didn't play us any man-to-man. I think teams, we hadn't seen a lot of zone up to that point. Teams had pretty much, you know, played as man all year. All of a sudden, GI throws a 2-3 zone at us from start to finish. We struggled with that a little bit. Obviously, we've spent some time preparing for that heading into the district tournament. You know, another thing that, you know, a lot of people may not have noticed, but Jess McCarg, one of the best three-point shooters on our team, one of the best three-point shooters in the state, didn't even suit for that game. You know, he was out with a shoulder injury. And any time you're facing a zone defense, you want to have your best shooters available. And he'll be available for us tonight. I mean, he's rebounded well from his shoulder injury, and he's back to 100%. So just having our team at full strength heading into this game, you know, makes me feel pretty confident. And then also just, you know, like I said, we've had a chance to work on some things specifically for GI that we think we might see. And, you know, it's the rubber match. I mean, we played them once, beat them. They beat us a time. You know, it's this, whoever wins this game is definitely going to earn that ticket to the state tournament. And, you know, whichever team gets beat, unfortunately, does not have a chance at a wild card based on the other results last night in other districts with Creighton Prep losing. But, you know, it's nice to control your own destiny. If you win, you're moving on. If you lose, your season's over, unfortunately.
Scott, I want to ask you about that wild card situation because it's interesting. In Class A, you've only got the one wild card, two Cs, and that's out of your hands now. But with Ralston not playing any Class A teams and just the way the district's set up, is there a way that in which you would like to do things? Would you like to be serpentined in with those other teams and play a district without these four teams out here in the West?
You know, there's pros and cons of both of it. You know, I guess I would be okay with, you know, us being included in that mix as well. But I guess my one request would be that if we're going to be thrown into districts with, you know, with Omaha schools, I would like to be able to play some of those teams during the regular season. You know, I don't think it would be fair for, you know, us to all of a sudden get stuck in a district with three teams that we've never seen before, you know, never had a chance to play, you know, on the regular season schedule. Right now we have one Omaha Metro team on our schedule, and that's part of that. It's each year it's either Benson or Papillion South in that pod that we play. You know, and in all honesty, we've tried like crazy to get Metro teams, you know, to come out to Kearney, because when you're going to schedule an opponent, you're going to schedule on a two-year contract. Once we go there, the next year they come here. And we just haven't had any luck getting Omaha Metro teams with the willingness, you know, to make a road trip out to Kearney and play. And the other thing, if we would all be, you know, seated in the district tournament, I think one of the districts would have to be played, you know, somewhere in the central or western part of the state, probably meaning Grand Island, Kearney, or North Platte. And I know that was a big reason why some of the Omaha schools weren't in favor of the proposal of seating all 28 teams.
Scott Steinbrook, head boys basketball coach at Kearney. Before we let you get out of here, Coach, last question. Do you think that you'll be doing more adjusting tonight for Grand Island? Will they have to adjust to you? Or is there much adjusting? I guess every time I ask this question, the coaches say, well, we just want to play our basketball game, but yet it's hard to play three and four times a year. So is there much adjustment to what Grand Island is going to bring?
Yeah, I think a big key tonight is going to be which team can sort of force their style and their tempo. GI is probably going to want to play a little slower pace game, play their zone. You know, sometimes they'll back the ball out, and each possession might take a minute or two off the clock, especially if they're playing with a lead. If we can get out early, get a nice lead, get some tempo up and down the court, get into some full court pressing situations, and just apply pressure to their guards. If we can control the tempo, then it might be that they're going to have to adjust to what we do. But as any coach will say, you go into a game, you have a game plan, you know, 2 minutes into the game, you know, your big guy might have some foul trouble or somebody might roll an ankle. You always have to be flexible and be prepared for any situation. So I think our kids, we just have to play our game. Our depth has been solid all year. We need to get good play off of our bench and just control the things that we can control and then just adjust to the rest and not worry about things out of our hands.
Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck tonight, Coach.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys.
See you, Scott Steinbrook, head boys basketball coach at Kearney High. Now, elsewhere tonight in game coverage on our sister station, Power 99 FM, D2 action, as the Pleasanton Bulldogs will be in action tonight, taking on Hitchcock County. That's the old Culbertson, Trenton, about the third year, I believe, of that consolidation.
And their record is what, Douglas?
20-4.
Okay, is this a team that Arapahoe has beat twice? Is that correct? Okay, so
they have lost to Arapahoe twice and Hayes Center twice, and Hayes Center is 21-1. And so Hayes Center, a D1 school, that is going to be playing Hayes Springs. So you got Hayes Center and Hayes Springs that are playing tonight. And we had an email here from Jim at Loop City who said that Hayes Springs has a connection to Loop City on the girls' side. They're going on the girls' side. So Eustace Farnham doesn't want to hear about that.
No.
But elsewhere tonight, Kennesaw and Exeter Milligan are playing at Donovan Trumbull. Elwood and Callaway are playing at Cozad. Palmer and Humphrey St. Francis are at Columbus. Also in D2, Hampton and Falls City Sacred Heart are playing at Norris High School. That is at 7:30. The other games are at 7 o'clock tonight, including that B5 final at UNK between Lexington and McCook. We will take a break and be back with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two gentlemen who are known for their razor-sharp wit, insightful commentaries, probing interview techniques, and charm. These broadcasting mega men will be back right after this. All right, you two, I said what you wanted. Now, where's my money?
I'm not a mechanic. I am a music conductor. I arrange symphonies, not timing belts. But I know my certified pre-owned Acura TL is in perfect harmony. Just like I know its sound system is so incredible, it's hard not to pick up my baton.
Acura certified pre-owned vehicles receive a 150-point inspection and a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original service date. In other words, they must pass our test before they pass yours. Visit Acura.com or dealer for warranty details.
You know, a wise man once said, do what you love and you won't have to work a day in your life. Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted in millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Hi, I'm Justin McBride, PBR World Champion. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area today with high temperatures in the upper 30s. Northwest winds will stay from 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, a low of 17 as winds become light and variable. And a mix of clouds and sun is expected for Wednesday with a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 30.
On the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, Daddy. Good time yesterday for Half Price Mondays out at Prairie Hills, but you don't have to just go on Monday. The new golf simulator is there for you, and a couple of dates that they want you to know about at Prairie Hills. March 15th, their new member open house from 10 in the morning till 9 at night. Free snacks, half price drinks. Check out the membership options and opportunities. Then.
Oh, this is a big, big announcement. March 22nd.
Huge. Hugie. The $40,000 hole-in-one contest. $40,000. You can win either a GMC Acadia or $40,000. 50 non-pro, non-teaching pros will qualify for a shot at the grand prize. A $10 entry fee allows you 3 qualifying shots. The top 50 get a chance at the hole-in-one. Complete rules on our website, ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Prairie Hills ad, and you'll find out more about the $40,000 hole-in-one contest coming up on March 25th at Prairie Hills. $40,000.
That's a lot of problems.
I think even I could hosel rocket one close enough to get into the top 50, but I don't know. That's coming up Prairie Hills. Prairie Hills Golf Course, just 10 miles north of Kearney on Highway 10. Check them out today. Kurt, Curtis, Nick, they're there. The new owners and operators of Prairie Hills Golf Course.
New attitude, new
field. Just got a call from the fellas up at Prairie Hills, and they said that a hole-in-one is the same day as their open house, apparently. So,
well, we better check that. Better make sure that that's, we better check that date. Sorry, guys. So it's the 15th. So it's a big day. Circle that day. Daddy.
Douglas, I got to clarify something.
Yep.
Because I certainly don't want to. Earlier, I stated.
Commando?
No.
Okay.
Earlier, I stated that this Western A district that those teams were in, I alluded to the fact it's always been in Hastings. That certainly was not a dig at Hastings in any way. No. I'm just saying.
You can't hit the ceiling rafters in Hastings.
No.
Pretty tough.
Very, 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 very nice, Jim. That was certainly not a rip on anybody at Hastings. All I was saying was, I think that any of these Western teams would go closer to a Lincoln and play in a Creed or a York. Or I'm just throwing out ideas that once you could break away from that district format, Hastings is a fine place to have it when it's just those four teams. I'm not sure where else you would have it with those four teams.
They played at Northwest here, maybe volleyball.
Central, yeah, it'd be one of those schools. Yes, that was my intention.
Heartland Event Center. Doc Sandler, we said commented yesterday on Cookie Miller's injury, saying, you know, it may be not as bad as we thought, but going to have to rely on some other guys to step up in his absence.
Again, somebody's just got to step up. I mean, obviously, you know, him playing 30 minutes of ball game, it's going to impact us, but it's not like we don't have two other point guards, because we do. Zach Henry and J.R. Strobridge both will have to step up and just pick up the slack in that position.
Nebraska win tomorrow?
Oh, gosh, don't put me in that position.
Coming up on the program tomorrow, we are going to talk with Ron Powell, prep editor, Lincoln Journal star, and he's going to help us go through the girls' state basketball tournament, see how many of these teams can maybe make it to the Saturday championship game, not to be confused with the Saturday consolation game.
Doc Sadler, by the way, also stating that Mr. Strobridge probably would have seen more action at point guard throughout this year, but he's had an ankle injury as well, has not had that speed and quickness off the drive. So
I thought it had something to do with his ability to play basketball.
He's getting healed up and should be ready to go. That's who you'll see more at that point guard position.
Hey, we want to thank everyone with the phone calls and emails. You know, Bill and Deschler's been dancing all night long as the Deschler Dragons advanced to state with a big win last night. So do the Knights of Elmwood Murdoch, by the way. 49-41 over East Butler.
They had to come back, I believe.
That wasn't pretty either, yeah. So they think maybe they got Heartland in the first round. The state pairings won't come out till tomorrow. A couple C2s are postponed, and all the games tonight could affect wild card point standings. So all the official pairings come out tomorrow. We'll take a look at that, talk with Ron Powell, girls' state basketball. And we want to thank Scott Steinberg, Kearney High, for joining us today.
See you tomorrow.
Bye, Daddy.
You've been listening to...